In 3, 2, 1. Hello and welcome to Rhyme Reviews the Universe, bringing you the best times for the best takes for you, the best people. Back after a long sabbatical, it's the start of the soccer season, so Noah and I kind of feel motivated enough to start putting out podcasts again. We'll see how often this keeps up, or if this even gets released. we're really serious about this, you know?
You gotta make me editor.
maybe. But yeah, we're here to talk about the upcoming soccer season. We might touch on the new Superman movie and the college football AP rankings that recently came out. But again, mainly about soccer. This is Ryan Reviews the Universe, but you know, soccer is my universe. So I suppose there's that. I'll start off by saying how much I hate Watford. We recently lost to Norwich today in the Carabao Cup. We were, to be fair, starting a bunch of 19 and 20-year-olds. But you know what's bad when I'm yearning for a certain Moussa Sissoko to start in our team? That's how you know that your club is kind of in the shitter. A bunch of our good players leaving for different clubs, between Daniel Bachmann leaving for Deportivo de Corona, Porteous leaving for LAFC, we still have Luza, who subbed on and did well. Tom Ince is still with the club, but we're not being promoted this year. I don't know how your Leicester... How are you feeling about your Leicester boys, Noah?
Fine. Watford are really bad, dude.
Yeah. Watford are really bad.
They're really bad.
This is the worst that I've seen them in years.
What if they get relegated?
If they get relegated again, I don't know. I will still... They could get relegated again, and I will still be a fan, and I will still do what I can to watch and support them. But it's certainly not easy. The boys are not making my life any better.
Whenever I think I got it hard, at least I'm not a Watford fan.
Yeah.
Leicester are okay. We won our first game over the weekend. We beat Sheffield Wednesday, which Sheffield Wednesday I honestly just feel bad for. They have a shit owner. Their players were talking about potentially not playing the game for a hot second because they hadn't been paid their July wages until the last week of July.
If I recall correctly, the Sheffield Wednesday fans didn't go into the stands until like the 15th minute or something, just to kind of, as a protest against their owners because of the dire financial straits that the club finds themselves
in. Yeah, I feel honestly really bad for Sheffield Wednesday's fans. Leicester are okay. We got rid of a lot of just money off the books this offseason, which was pretty good. We got rid of Connor Cody. Somehow, Wrexham paid us $2 million for Connor Cody. Mm-hmm. We got rid of Ndidi. Vardy obviously got released, so that's just like a ton of money.
Wrexham also paid you for Danny Ward, correct?
No, he just left on a free.
Oh, he left on a free.
But okay. I'm glad he left because he is bad, and he kind of gave the game away this weekend versus Southampton. They probably should have won that game. Mm-hmm. The biggest thing for Leicester is we have to keep Bilal El-Kanous. He's like our 10 right now. He is very good, but he's getting a ton of Premier League interest. I thought Newcastle... He has a 30 mil release clause that expires this Friday. So honestly, this whole week, I'm just kind of praying no one wants to pony up and pay that. Newcastle, we're thinking about paying, and then just like an hour ago, they paid 40 mil and bought Jacob Ramsey from Newcastle. So I kind of think that rules them out. Newcastle was very interesting summer. We'll definitely get into that.
Does he not have a release clause once Friday happens, or will he have a new release clause with potentially a higher bill?
No, his release clause was just for this summer.
Okay.
It was triggered by us getting relegated.
Okay.
So I'm really hoping we will dominate the league if he stays on our team, but if he leaves, it'll be pretty sketchy. Also, we're going to definitely get hit with PSR charges, but... The championship is bad, Ryan.
Yes, it is.
It is bad. Even a team like Leicester, who went 2 months without scoring a goal last season, is easily one of the best teams in the league.
I agree. But this also makes it scary for another reason. A certain new impending force has entered the championship ring. They are Wrexham Soccer Club. I feel more and more confident that they will make it to the Prem within the next 3 years, especially with how middling the championship is going at the moment. They seem to have... It'll be interesting to see what happens once they start dealing with certain financial regulations and whatnot. Not that they haven't been, but it's just a different beast once you start getting into the higher leagues. But I think that they could... They have an outside chance of being top 10 and thus entering the playoffs, which is, for those who don't know, that is spots 3 through 6 in the championship.
It's just interesting because they were out, obviously, in the leagues below. They were just, like, out financially people. Like, yeah. They just had the most money in those leagues. But now you're into the championship where, you know, McElhinney and Ryan Reynolds aren't the richest owners in their league anymore, and there are people with more money. I think, honestly, they'll probably finish mid-table this year. I don't think Scott Parkinson will last the entire season. I think he will get fired at some point. They'll hire a better manager. Wrexham kind of have a lot of haters.
Yes, and now they do.
Honestly, I feel like it's... I'm kind of a hater for Wrexham. Yeah, I don't know why. I just kind of don't want to see them succeed. I think a lot of it is, like, jealousy, and people want the same thing to happen to their club, which is very interesting. I don't think they'll go up this year. I think it'll take hot stay in the championship for them to go up. But
for me, they've just made a lot of astute signings. Kiefer Moore from Sheffield United, Connor Cody from you guys, Lewis O'Brien.
Terrible. Connor Cody's awful.
Yes, but in the championship, yes, in the premiership, so awful. In the championship, I don't know.
Bad. Okay. Old as hell. Way too high wages.
Lewis O'Brien.
They beat
Carse from Empoli. Danny Ward.
Bad.
Ryan Hardy from Plymouth. Jay Rodriguez from Burnley. Ryan Longman from Hull.
They beat Hull today in penalties 5-3. Which is a pretty big dub for Wrexham, honestly. Because that whole team's not bad.
Then again, that is just Carabao.
But the championship is so bad, dude. If Leicester don't go up this year, it's honestly a shame because the level of competition we... How many... Sheffield Wednesday, Ryan, completed 96 passes total. Harry Winks came on at halftime, Ryan, and completed 54 passes by himself.
I'm surprised Harry Winks stayed with you guys this summer.
He's about to get sold to Valencia, I believe. Really? So...
Harry Winks to Valencia. Would that be the Gary Neville or Phil Neville path? Which one of them played for Valencia?
I don't know. Okay. He's pretty... He's, like, amazing in the championship, and he's a pretty mid... He's, like, bottom-tier midfielder in the Premier League.
Yeah, so I can't imagine he's going to be that great in La Liga.
No. But, yeah, the championship is...
I know.
But we're not here to talk about the championship.
No, we're here to talk about the premiership. And honestly, with a slight lean towards Fantasy Premier League, which we're both kind of obsessed with. Who do you have winning the... Actually, no. I'm going to give my top 20. Actually, should we just go...
Just give me your three relegated teams right now.
Wolves, Leeds, Burnley. In order.
Wolves, Leeds, Burnley. Okay. I have Wolves, Burnley, Sunderland.
Okay. I feel like, and this is going to sound very similar to my take on Ipswich last year, but I feel like Sunderland is a lot more kind of prepared to be an outside team to scrap some points in. They're young. They have a good manager. They... have a lot of Premier League prospects that will probably, like, I would expect them to barely stay up this year and then sell all their good players and then go down the year after, would be my guess.
I honestly feel pretty similarly to what you said, and I feel pretty similar to how Ipswich was. Obviously, Ipswich went down.
Yes.
But Sunderland signed so many guys this summer. They maybe signed double-digit guys, and I think it's just... You know, you get all that money. And I think it's weird. I think that team will take a while to mesh together because you have so many new players. And I could see that this Leeds team has, you know, they're not bringing in as many pieces, which I think benefits them in the short term, starting off in the Prem. But honestly, between, we do agree on Burnley and Wolves.
Burnley is the worst team in the league, I think, by far.
Yes, I would agree with and, that.
A lot of Wolves, sorry to Nick, a lot of Wolves' attacking output was done by one of their defenders, who is now at City. Nori. And then Cunha, who is now at Manchester United.
Yep.
You still have Strand Larsen, but again, he was being fed by both of those two players.
Yep.
Which makes him, in my opinion, and I don't know whether you agree with this or not, he is an absolute bait pick in Fantasy Premier League.
Very much so, especially with the Wolves. They have a pretty tough run of fixtures just to start off the league, but they're just a team, they don't really have a direction right now, right?
No.
You know, they get that 30 mil for Aitnori and they get that 60 mil for Cunha. But they really haven't invested that yet this summer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is not going to be good for them.
I agree.
After a pretty long stay in the Prem.
I agree. Back to Sunderland really quick. I feel like their entire season, like you said, they brought in a lot of new people. They all seem to be the right moves. They have a relatively passive run of fixtures to start off the season. But that doesn't mean that they've got their whole team figured out. If they don't pick up 5 or so points within the first 4 games or so, I could see them going down. If they do, then I think they're staying up.
I think Sunderland's running the championship next year.
No, all of their good players are going to get sold. Either way, whether they stay up or go down, anyone who shows a lick of promise on Sunderland is going to get sold. So that's us talking about, I had Burnley at 20, Leeds at 19, Wolves at 18, Sunderland at 17. At 16, I have Brentford. To my knowledge, Wissa is still at...
How do I?
Do you really also have
that? Yep.
To my knowledge, Wissa is still at Brentford, but Mbeumo is gone.
Yes, and I honestly kind of expect Wissa to be gone at the end of this window, too.
Probably. Where are the rumors saying that he's going to go?
Right now, he's kind of rumored Saudi or Newcastle, and I kind of think he'll end up at Newcastle after they just kind of end up striking out on everyone they wanted this summer.
But the thing is, they still have Isak, so...
Isak will not be a Newcastle player by the end of this window.
I don't know. They've stuck out.
They've ruined the relationship. There's no coming back from where they're at right now.
That is true.
They should have sold him last summer.
I heard on the Guardian Football Weekly podcast that there was a barbecue outing for all the players and their families, and Isak was not allowed to go to that barbecue.
Yeah,
which is crazy. That's crazy work to me.
It's a really wild just saga that's been going on there. But going back to Brentford, losing Mbeumo and Thomas Frank in one offseason is a task within itself. They hire a guy from within the system already. I think another sneaky loss for them this summer was Christian Norgaard going to Arsenal. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just a bit of an end of an era for Brentford. I think they would be very lucky to stay up this season to hopefully reinvest that money either in the winter window or the next summer window. But I think it's going to be a rough year for the Bees.
Yeah.
Where are these goals going to come from if Wissa and Mbeumo are gone?
I have no idea. Igor Thiago, isn't that?
You're putting all your faith in Igor Thiago and Kevin Chada.
Yeah. To be fair, Igor Thiago was one of my go-for-it transfers at the beginning of last year, but I think he got injured at the second or third game of the season, so we saw absolutely nothing of him.
And Mbeumo and Wissa were just playing so well. It was going to be hard for him to find minutes anyways.
Absolutely. At 15, I have West Ham.
I have West Ham at 15, too.
West Ham, I view as Jared Bowen FC.
Jared Bowen will not let them go down alone.
And for that reason alone, I think that they're going to flirt with relegation, but... they'll be okay.
They just have the most... They've had such a mid-summer. Like, they bring in Leicester's goalie, Mads Hermansson. I do think he's good. When I was thinking about him, I was like, there's probably eight teams he could start for in the Prem right now, and West Ham was one of them. They bring in Callum Wilson on a free, Kyle Walker-Peters on a free. They lose Kudus to Tottenham. They lose a lot of guys over the summer, and this West Ham team just has nothing to impress me with outside of them having Jared Bowen and him refusing to let them go down.
Yeah, Callum Wilson on a free does not exactly move the dial. okay. At 14, I have Bournemouth.
I also have Bournemouth.
So Bournemouth, their entire defense, which was stellar last year, talk about FPL legends, Kirkez, Hoysen, is that how you pronounce
Dean Hoysen.
Yeah, Hoysen.
Ilya Zabarni.
Yep.
Milos Kerkez. And Kepa. All gone.
All gone. To Real Madrid, Liverpool,
PSG,
and
Arsenal.
And Arsenal, yeah.
And that defense was the backbone of their team last year, Ryan. Yeah. That's a lot of money coming that's back to them.
A lot of money. A lot of... around... over $110 million this summer alone. But I don't believe that they have invested any of it yet.
They haven't. So they got 40 for Kirkez, 50 for Dean, 55 for Ilya. So that
I'm talking net after.
Yes. So, and they've only spent 36.
Yeah.
I'm expecting a lot of. They were a hard team to rank, Ryan, but I think with losing that, you know, four-fifths of their defensive line, that's pretty tough for them. I think it's going to be a low-key sad year.
Yeah. Their recent signings include Petrovic from Chelsea, who is, if you can't start over Sanchez, you got a problem. Truffert from Rennes, a 23-year-old left wing back. I have no knowledge of him. And that's the entirety of their summer transfer window.
Tough.
Yeah.
Better get to spending.
Better get to spending. At 13, I have Fulham.
I also have Fulham. We did not consult our list before.
No, we did
this
not.
This is wild.
No, we did not. We just both know ball. This is just how we see the future here.
Fulham kind of had a similar year as Bournemouth last year, Ryan, where they both kind of overachieved a little bit last year. They were both feel-good stories.
They were both feel-good stories. The difference is none of their players are outstanding enough to, like, get sold out.
So no, this team, they're running back mainly the same team.
Yeah.
A couple, I think yesterday they put in a bid for this Shakhtar winger. His name is Kevin. He's a Brazilian. Shakhtar said they weren't going to let him go for less than like 50. I believe Fulham put in a bid for around 40 plus add-ons. I think if they can get him, that is a stellar signing, because Shakhtar's kind of just been producing, you know, one or two talents every summer. But they're mainly running back the same team, Ryan, which is mainly why they're going to be in their same place that they finished last year.
Yeah. They might actually regress a little bit further than I expected. I could see them doing worse than Bournemouth. There's a world where that happens.
I do think Bournemouth have the better coach.
I agree with that. Doc Ock regen. He just looks like Alfred Molina. Isn't that the name of the actor? Yeah. At 12th, I have Everton. Everton are... oh, they're so interesting. We'll talk about them a little bit later, but I have them in my... top five most interesting teams of the year, or the teams that I'm going to be looking at.
I like the summer they've had so far.
Jack Grealish?
On a loan.
But Jack Grealish.
Okay, Ryan, there's a pipeline of guys that are now going from Aston Villa captains to Man City rejects to Everton redemption stories going on so far. Do you think you can name the three? That have gone from Villa captain to City back up to Everton rebound.
Seamus Coleman one of them?
No. Fabian Delph, Gareth Barry, Jack Grealish.
Wow.
But outside of Jack Grealish, it's a loan. We don't know how much salary they're paying, which he's on a lot of salary.
Yeah.
But it's a 50 mil obligation to buy at the end of the season, which probably won't go through. Because I don't really think Everton are in the position to be buying a singular player for 50 mil at this point.
We could phone up Brandon right now about that, but I'm sure he would tell us exactly that.
They get Kieran Dewsbury-Hall from Chelsea for 29.
Who was one of your favorite players when he played for Leicester.
Yep.
I'm sure you're... Just are you happier or that he is now no longer at Chelsea? Or
I'd rather see him play every week.
That's true.
Kieran Dewsbury-Hall just getting tossed around between me, Simon, and Brandon now. Yeah. He's hitting all the blues. They bring in a guy named Tierno Barry, Ryan, from Villarreal for 27 mil. And I don't really know a lot about this guy, but people are pretty hyped on him. And we know Everton are going to be good from the back. They still keep Pickford. They keep Branthwaite. They have Tarkowski. Tarkowski is another very interesting fantasy addition, Ryan, because this is the year they added defensive like contributions as another way for defenders to get points.
He absolutely gobbles those up.
And if that were a stat last season, Ryan, he would have led all defenders in defensive contribution points. He would have ended 46 points higher than he would have last season.
Yeah.
Which is very interesting in terms of fantasy. But yeah, I think Everton are going to be very good defensively from the back, and I still think they're going to struggle to score goals. And that's just been Everton. They're a tough beat every week, but not enough to propel them yet.
Do you want to tell me who you have at 11th?
At 11th, I have Crystal Palace.
Okay. I have them at 10th.
Okay. At 10th, I have Nottingham Forest.
That is, I have Nottingham Forest at 11th.
Yeah.
So
I kind of figured.
Yeah. Nottingham Forest... they're getting Europa League, which will be the first time since Lord knows when that they've had European football. Don't forget, they actually have won European hardware. That's why they've got those stars on their crest. Chris Wood was my hero last year. I messed up and captained him game week one of last year. And he returned for me, and I was like, man, I'm going to keep him in the squad. He will pass 100 Premier League goals this year. He's at, I think, 89, but I think his price tag for fantasy, that is, 7.5 million, is a little bit too much. That being said, Milinkovic is a great pick, as is Murillo.
So is Nico Williams, honestly.
So is Nico Williams. I worry that they're going to be stretched a little bit too thin between the Premiership and European football, and for that reason, I have them kind of middle of the table.
Yes, they lose Anthony Alonga to Newcastle. They bring in Dan Ndoye from Bologna. They bring in Igor Jesus from Botafogo. One of the weirder transfer stories of the summer, Ryan, was Tottenham paying Morgan Gibbs-White's release clause. But then Morgan Gibbs, Nottingham Forest, like contesting that. And then a week later, Gibbs-White signs a new contract at Forest. That was one of the weirdest stories of this summer, Ryan.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think Forest, you know, them getting Europa is really cool, but it's also could be the reason why they drop back in the league this year.
It always feels like a blessing and a curse. You have to make something of it when you're a not top six squad and you get European football. Let's talk about Palace next.
Palace coming off a Community Shield win over Liverpool, Ryan. They now have a FA Cup and a Community Shield, same number of trophies that Arteta has won at Arsenal.
Corbin living large.
Yeah. It's a good time to be a Crystal Palace fan.
It's a good time to be a Crystal Palace fan.
They haven't really brought in anyone this summer yet, Ryan, but no
Eze
one...
looks good. Mateta looks good.
No one has really left this summer that was super important to them, but I think in this, you know, these next couple 2.5 weeks of the transfer table, I do think we could see... I think Gehi has already agreed to a fee to a contract with Liverpool. I could see him leaving to go to Liverpool. Eze is in talks with Tottenham right now.
Yeah.
And if they lose Tottenham and Mark Gehi in the same window, Ryan, that is, we're talking about a drastically different Crystal Palace team.
That also means that Ismail Assar has much more freedom to, A, be in the team every single week and probably have more of a starting role. He's gone through a little bit of a revolution last year over at Crystal Palace. I've been tinkering with him in my FBL squad over the past couple weeks. And again, ex-Watford player, so I have a little bit of bias there. Uh-huh. But Ismail Assar
could be an interesting fantasy piece. Because if Palace is going to score, you got to assume one of Mateta or Sar is going to be at the forefront of it.
Absolutely. At 9, who do you have?
I have Brighton.
Okay, I have Tottenham.
I think my 9 through 7 is Brighton, Man United, Tottenham.
Let's go 6 through 9. So at 9, I have Tottenham. At 8, I have Villa. At 7, I have Brighton. At 6, I have United.
Okay.
Do you want to say your 9 through 6?
My 9 through 6 is Brighton, United, Tottenham, Newcastle.
Okay. Tottenham are going to have Europe this year.
New coach, Thomas Frank.
New coach, who I absolutely rate, Thomas Frank.
Uh-huh.
But they really, that man does not have much to work with. When you've got Richarlison in the starting, as your starting striker, things aren't going to work out that great for you unless you are the Brazilian national team.
I think we are going to see Tottenham splash some cash here at the end of the window, Ryan.
But who are they going to splash it on?
They're in talks to get Eze right now. Okay. I'm going to see that happening. They're in talks to get Savinho from Man City right now. And I could still see them ponying up cash or on like a season-long loan with the obligation to buy at the end of the year for Nico Jackson from Chelsea. And getting those three drastically changes your Tottenham attack.
That's true.
They're in dire need of a creative 10 right now, Ryan, because a week ago in their friendly, Madison tears his ACL, which is a pretty big...
That's a loss.
That's a big loss for Tottenham because they signed a guy from Madison for a pretty good chunk of change from Leicester.
And he's been invisible every single
And he just has terrible injury luck.
Yep.
But just this summer alone, you know, they bring in Mathis Tel on a permanent from Bayern. I like him. They bring Mohamed Kudus in from West Ham for 55. They bring in João Palhinha from Bayern on a loan for a year. Wasn't working out for him at Bayern. He was on my list last year, Ryan, of like most exciting signings. They don't lose a lot. They lose Son to LAFC, but Son had ran his course at Tottenham. He just wasn't the same player.
Objectively, the right move to get him out the team.
Yes.
But that being said, Son, amazing servant of the club. It sucks that that's the way in which he left.
At least he got a trophy before he left.
He got a trophy before he does. I could see them making a statue of him. Because closing in on like what he had, like 130 Premier League goals or something like that.
Huh.
All of them for Tottenham.
Could be a weird season for them.
Let's talk about Villa next. I had them at 8th. You had them at...
I have them at 5th.
Okay.
Before we get to Villa and Newcastle and Brighton, let's talk about Man United.
Man United.
Man United splashing some cash this summer as they do, Ryan. You know, they've been splashing cash these past summers, but it hasn't really... been working out for them. They've been splashing cash because they are United, but they haven't been getting the right guys. But
they're getting people out of the team that might have an adverse effect on the locker room.
Rashford.
Garnacho and Rashford.
Garnacho.
Yep.
Antony.
They're bringing in people who are tried and true within the Premiership.
And Mbeumo, Cunha.
Yep.
And then they bring in the biggest signing in the summer for them, Benjamin Sesko from RB Leipzig.
Yep.
Just on those three players alone, Ryan, they spent $210 million. But in terms of where their signings have been in the last 4 or 5-ish years, Ryan, compared to this summer, you're bringing in someone like Mbeumo and Cunha, who proved last season they score goals in the Prem, and then you're taking your big swing on the striker and Sesko. I like the summer they've had.
We like the summer that they had last year.
That is fair.
Those names were like... I would say the names that they had last year were more like FPL or soccer nerd, like fan
those
favorites.
Those are counteracting summers, though. Those summers are in tandem with each other because last summer they're bringing in the defense.
Yeah.
They get a guy like De Ligt, they bring in a guy like Lenny Yoro. They saw that summer with this summer in plan.
I also can see a Harry Maguire renaissance this year.
I mean, Harry Maguire was... one of their best three players last season.
This is true. This is true.
But
people just don't talk about him that way.
Yeah, because he's a meme. But it's the second season under Ruben Amorim. He's got his quote-unquote system now. You know, he likes to play 3-5-2. They should be good this season. They should be good. Especially with... they have no distraction of...
they have no distraction.
They have
no Europe. They could just focus on the league. They have a rough run of fixtures to start off the season with. I believe they've got Arsenal and Newcastle within their first three. But after that, if they can get things going, I have them at sixth.
Yep. And this can transition us into Brighton. Man United are still looking to sign a defensive midfielder. They want Baleba from Brighton. He's a very similar... they brought in Baleba basically to be Caicedo replacement.
Yeah.
So he's kind of the same vein, and they see him... They rate him very highly. They rate him like as highly as they were rating Caicedo back when he was still on the team. Brighton doesn't really go crazy this summer. They've spent around 38. They lose, you know, Evan Ferguson goes out to Roma on loan. He wasn't in the team last year. They lose Adingra to Sunderland, which isn't really that big of a fee. Their biggest loss was probably João Pedro to Chelsea, but they get 60 mil for him, which is a pretty good chunk of change for João Pedro.
I hate that he's at Chelsea. This is similar to how I imagine you felt when Dewsbury Hall went to...
All
my homies hate Chelsea.
Fuck Chelsea.
Fuck Simon. We said this last year as well.
I saw a thing. Chelsea's 49th signing since the change of ownership was a couple weeks ago, Ryan. Liverpool's 49th transfer was back in... Their 49th transfer ago was Peter Crouch in 2005.
That's absurd. It's absolutely absurd.
But Brighton, they're just good.
Yeah.
They're a good top 10-ish team in the Prem with a good coach, with good players, and they have
a good run.
They have their money-making machine built.
Yes.
They bring in young, prospective players that they think they can sell for large amounts of cash.
And they don't sell ever sell too many.
No, they are very smart. Over. They know what they need to keep this cycle going.
Yep.
And their scouting department's just 10 out of 10.
Absolutely.
There's almost no club in the world that's in the same position as Brighton that's hitting on as many players as they are.
I would agree. I have Brighton at 7th.
Before we get to top 4, we obviously have Newcastle and Villa to still talk about.
Yep, I have Villa at 8th, and I have Newcastle at 5th.
I have Villa at 5th, and I have Newcastle at 6th. Newcastle is 6th for me because Isaac is not going to play a single minute for them this year. He's going to go to Liverpool.
I don't think... It's way too... I really don't think he goes to Liverpool. Didn't Liverpool just splurge on...
Liverpool's net spend this summer,
Ryan? Ekitike was $100 million and is... Would you say roughly in the same spot as where Isak would be?
He was slightly worse.
But they spent $100 million on him. Which means that Isak is proven in the Prem, he's got to be more. There's no way Fenway Sports Group has another 150, 120 mil to splurge out on Alexander Isak.
They've only net spent 67 mil this year, right?
That's absurd.
They got 65 for Diaz, 57 for Darwin, 35 for Kwanzaa, 18 for Kelleher, 15 for Tyler Morin.
That's absurd.
Like, they're insane spenders. But we're not here to talk about Liverpool yet, because
no,
I know where Liverpool is going to be at in yours. Newcastle, obviously they bring in Anthony Elanga for 55. They bring in Aaron Ramsdale to be their backup. They bring in a guy today named Malik Thiaw from AC Milan, backup to be their future center back. They haven't lost anyone huge. They've lost guys that they could afford to lose, but obviously losing Isak would be terrible for them.
Yeah.
But no club outside of 4 to 5 teams in the world are in a position to be saying no for 120 plus for one player. They have to say yes to that. They have to get that money. The problem is that they lost out on signing all the guys they wanted this summer, Ryan. They wanted Mbeumo. No. They wanted Sesko. No. They wanted Gyökeres. No. Like, they waited too long to sell Isak to get a player back that is equivalent to him.
Yeah.
But they're still a very solid squad.
Still have Jacob Murphy, even though he's getting pretty old. Anthony Gordon's still in the squad.
Anthony Elanga.
Sandro Tonali. Joelinton.
They still have the core of their team, just no Isak giant-sized hole there now.
Yeah.
The guy who's going to score 25 plus goals for them this season. Which is going to be tough for them.
Villa.
I feel like
you said you had them at 5th. I have them at 8th.
obviously we were expecting the Villa, you know, regression from last season, Ryan, just because we've already talked about it. New team, getting a new cup. They were kind of, you have to figure out how your depth plays into that and managing that all.
Were they not in Europe last year?
No, they were. That's why they were working out how to balance all of that.
Yeah. So I don't think it will be as bad for that reason.
Yeah, they figured that out. They're running back relatively the same team. They added Evan Gieson from Nice. Just got 40 mil for Jacob Ramsey earlier today, so they're obviously going to be looking to reinvest that.
Morgan Rogers with a minor ankle injury, although they're playing off as minor. We'll see how truthful that actually is.
I think it's an Ollie Watkins revenge tour this year after a bit of a letdown season, I would say, last year in terms of the standards he set for himself. But they haven't lost anyone big, Ryan. They've kept relatively the same team. They signed Morgan Rogers to a new deal, and I just kind of like Villa.
It's true. I didn't realize that Tyrone Mings was 32 years old. That was kind of unexpected for me.
Let's go.
Note for FPL players, Martinez did get a red card to end last season, so he will not be able to start Game Week 1 because of that terrible, terrible penalty red card that he messed up. Let's go top four. Who's your number four?
My number four is Chelsea.
My number four is also Chelsea. Who's your number three?
Fuck Chelsea.
Who's your number three?
My number three is Manchester City.
My number three is also Manchester City.
And then my two is Arsenal.
My number two is Arsenal.
And my one is Liverpool.
And my number one is Liverpool. Man, we know ball, huh?
I fucking hate Chelsea so fucking much.
I agree.
Chelsea, obviously.
Should I call Simon right now?
Another summer. Another summer going crazy. They bring in Jamie Gittens from Dortmund. Bring him home to England for 51, Ryan. That's a winger. Keep track. They bring in João Pedro from Brighton for 60. They bring in Liam Delap for Ipswich for 30.
That's 140.
They bring in Jarrell Hato from Ajax for 38.
That's 178.
FM Wonderboy. Love that guy. They bring in Estevao Willian from Palmeiras for 29.
Oh, geez. That is 207.
They bring in Dario Isugo from Sporting for 18.5.
That is 225.
And then they bring in two more dudes, Kendry Praias, Mamadou Sarr for 29 total.
That is 254.
Obviously, they have to get rid of some guys. So they've spent 254 this summer, Ryan.
According to my very quick maths. You don't need to double check this, but yes,
they've sold roughly around 150-ish, so still a net spend of around 80-ish for this summer. They lose a guy like Noni Madueke, they lose Petrovic, they lose Kepa, they lose João Felix, they lose Dewsbury Hall, but these guys weren't really key to their team.
No.
Because
no one really knows what their team is, even. They keep on, they do this stuff every single year, they just have too many men in the system. And then it's just a meat grinder. Some of them stay. Some of them end up great. Like, I don't know.
It's the money machine.
It is the money machine.
They're more expensive and worse Brighton at transfers.
Let's talk Cole Palmer and Enzo Fernandez.
Both very good.
Do we think that Cole Palmer has a bit of a redemption tour this year or not? Because he looked really, really good in the FIFA Club World Cup, but ultimately that doesn't mean anything.
Depends what you think his best position is. Do you think he's a right winger or a 10?
I think he's a 10.
It's very interesting because I think he's going to play a lot of right wing this year.
Okay.
And I think that's worse for him.
What does that mean from an FPL standpoint, you think?
I think everyone's going to have Cole Palmer to start off the year.
Really?
I do.
I don't have him in my club right now.
But they also get him.
I have tinkered with him in my team.
They get him two very legitimate goal scoring threats in João Pedro. And Liam Delap.
And João Pedro balled out also.
In
the Club World Cup.
Immediately showing that. And he's on their penalties.
Yep.
Cole Palmer is. He's going to be around most of their free kicks. I think I'm going to have him in my FBL team.
Okay.
But I think Chelsea are going to score a lot of goals. And if Chelsea score a lot of goals, you got to expect Cole Palmer to be involved in some of those.
That is fair. Let's talk City.
Man City, honestly, they had a great summer. Obviously, they lose club legend Kevin De Bruyne. They lose Kyle Walker. They lose a bunch of other guys out on loan. They bring in Reinders from AC Milan. They bring in Aitnori from Wolves so they can finally have a legit left back and they can move Vardiol back to center back. They bring in Ryan Cherokee from Lyon for 34, absolute steal for 34. And they bring in James Trafford from Burnley to be their goalie of the future.
Which means that Ederson probably leaves either winter transfer window or next summer.
They're going to get Donnarumma.
Really?
Donnarumma today.
Oh my gosh, yeah, that's right.
PSG left Donnarumma out of their Super Cup team, and it's just been all unfolding today. And Donnarumma and Man City have already agreed to a contract, so now they just have to work out a fee for Man City and PSG. Ederson, I would assume, goes to Saudi, and they swap out Ederson for Donnarumma, which is pretty insane because Donnarumma is still nutty.
Yeah.
And I think it's a massive L by PSG, but PSG are also very fucking good. But the thing is, no Rodri all last season, Ryan. And Rodri arguably is City's most important player outside of Haaland. I think he's more important than Haaland.
Do we think his injury will cause a regression? Like, he will not be the same player as he was pre-injury last year.
That is true, and we've kind of already seen that in similar cases, Ryan, with guys like Fabinho.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't think of the other example I had, but there is once those CDMs get, once those like ball winning midfielders get enough miles on them, the decline happens fast.
Yeah.
But that's why they bring in a guy like Reinders, who is insane, was probably top three best midfielder in the Serie A last season, to give Rodri that time to get back up to speed. Losing Kevin is just like weird. It'll just be weird to see City playing without Kevin De Bruyne. But I think Aitnori and Ryan Cherokee are two insane creative outlets for them. City had too many guys, Ryan, that were really good at getting to the final third. But then, like, that's the reason why they want to get rid of Savinho, because Savinho is so good at getting the ball to the final third, but he was so terrible at finishing in the final third. Kind of the same with Grealish. They're just shifting their play style a bit to where, you know, they bring in guys like Doku, Savinho, and Grealish, who are all amazing at getting fouls drawn around in the final third around the box. And I think they're switching. I think we're going to see a switch in style to a much more direct style of play this year. The most burning question with me, Ryan, is no one, I think a lot of people, the majority of the league, will not start with Haaland in their team this year.
I currently have him
in my squad. I want to zigzag so hard, Ryan, and go no Salah, Gakpo, and Wirtz, and you still have Haaland.
Right now, I have both Salah and Haaland in my squad with the other big... Actually, no, I have one other midfielder.
So I think you're hemorrhaging your team too much at that point. I don't think Salah Haaland is the way.
We can talk a little bit more about Salah once we start talking about Liverpool.
The problem is if Salah goes off week one and you don't have him, you are so fucked.
Same with Haaland.
Yes, I know. Yeah. That's why.
So you almost have to have both. If one of them does not go off, we can talk strategy a little bit later. But to cap off my City point, they look kind of shaky last year, but ultimately, Pep is Pep. They have strengthened themselves in the places that they should. Rodri is back, but I don't think he will be at the same point that he was. But he still has won Ballon d'Or, and for good reason. They are going to be a very, very good squad.
And getting Donnarumma is nuts for them.
It is nuts.
I could easily, this top three, I honestly think, Ryan, is like the most competitive top three we've had in a long time.
Bridesmaids. Bridesmaids at number two.
Arsenal also have a good-ass summer. They get Kepa as a backup goalie. That doesn't really mean anything. They get Zubimendi from Real Sociedad. Finally, that's a deal that's been rumored for the last 3 years for 51. They get Christian Norgaard from Brentford. Just a fantastic, depth piece. They bring in Noni Madueke from Chelsea, which was kind of confusing for me, but it is it's decent depth for when Martinelli, who sneaky hasn't been... Martinelli... was maybe the most hyped player in the league 3 years ago. And he's kind of just been floating at the same skill level. I don't think Martinelli ever got to where they thought he was going to get to.
I mean, Matt Wake isn't that great either. He just had that one great hat trick with Chelsea last year and then was kind of...
That's why he's back up.
Yeah.
And then they bring in their big signing. They bring in Victor Gyökeres from Sporting.
Who will be a dog.
For 63. And this Arsenal team no longer has to play Kai Havertz as their starting striker. Or hope for Gabby Jesus' knee to hold together for enough games. Gyökeres is going to fucking eat, Ryan.
Let's see. Can't wait.
My FPL name is Gyök Tua. And he will be in the team.
Liverpool at number one. Oh, let's glaze Ren some more.
I mean, I don't see a world where Liverpool don't win this league, honestly.
Florian Wirtz. Frimpong.
Kerkez.
Etiquité.
They just had a baller summer, honestly.
What the heck is this?
They bring in a new left back and a right back. Frimpong is awesome. Kerkez is awesome. They get the most creative midfielder in the world at the current moment for 116 from Leverkusen. They bring in their goalie of the future in Mamardashvili.
A great backup goalie in Freddie Woodman from Preston North End.
They bring in their new striker in Ekitike from Frankfurt. They sell guys like Darwin, Trent, Diaz, Kwanzaa. The problem with this Liverpool team, again, Ryan, which is kind of the problem they ran into last year, was their depth isn't amazing for a team that's going to be playing as deep into competitions as they are.
Yeah.
I mean, God forbid they get a terrible injury to any of their players. God forbid.
Noah is dripping with sarcasm here for those at home.
But they're just beasts. Florian Wirtz in the Prem is just going to be awesome to watch on a week-to-week basis.
Mo Salah with an amazing two-thirds of the season last year and then kind of falling off. He's been my biggest question, but it feels so wrong to not have him in your starting team.
He had a terrible FPL. Final third of the season, Ryan, and he still scored 303 points.
Yeah.
It's just, he is the ultimate question. I really don't want to have Salah because I just want to zag and I want to go. I think Gakpo at 7.5 is an insane
I agree.
Deal.
Actually, no, he's the other guy I have in my squad.
And if you go on Twitter, Ryan, like on my soccer Twitter, it's obviously just full of FPL drafts and no one has Gakpo. And I think it's crazy because it is hard to price him in if you have someone like Salah. But I want to zag so hard and go, I want two pieces to that Liverpool
attack. Gakpo is only going to be good if Isak is not a Liverpool player this year.
Why?
Because from what Ren was telling me, Gakpo and Isak are going to kind of be set up in the same spot within their
squad. I think Gakpo's nailed on as their starting left winger. And I think it would be Isak starting with Etiquité as his backup.
Hmm.
But obviously that's all fluid because they're going to be playing in so many games.
That's true. That's true.
But Isak isn't a left winger. He's a striker. And
I don't know. This was Ekitike
is also a striker.
That's mouth, not mine.
Honestly, I could see them switching up their formation some games, Ryan, and going like 4-4-2.
That would be interesting.
But yeah, Liverpool are going to be awesome.
Liverpool are going to be really good. They've already won the season already, right?
Yep. I don't see a world... If they don't win, honestly, it's a major failure.
That's true. That's true.
And I hope no one gets hurt on Liverpool. I'm praying they have no one gets hurt.
Let's do a little recap about FPL-wise. For me, the reasoning behind having both Salah and Haaland in the team to start is because you can always move down to like a mid-premium player or even a 6-5 guy and then distribute everything later. It's so hard to just spend one of your wild cards and then move up if somehow Haaland and Sal are balling out to start the season. Which they very well might. This is exactly what happened last year.
I'm trying to load my current team. I'll tell you right now. I'll give you some sauce. Yeah. Honestly, I'm kind of skimping on my defense right now. Which I have very mixed feelings about.
I have mixed feelings about my keepers and my...
dude, can we talk about this UI update to the app?
It's awful.
It is god awful.
Awful. Anyways, so my don't feel good about my keepers. Don't feel good about my defense that much. I do think I have... Can this just load, please? Hello?
I'll just say my team while you're loading.
Sure.
On the bench, we have Dubravka at 4 mil for a starting goalie.
I also have Dubravka.
You have to. I have Esteve from Burnley because he's a 4 mil defender. I have Konza from Villa as one of my bench defenders because Villa has a really nice run of fixtures once you get past some of the initial opening weeks.
I also have Konza.
And then I have Aaron Ramsey just as a filler 4 mil midfielder. I went 3 striker on this current draft, Ryan. This is a current draft, not a final draft.
Okay.
I got Gyökeres from Arsenal.
Okay.
I have Ollie Watkins from Villa. I have Jared Bowen from West Ham. I have Elliot Anderson because he's maybe the best value midfielder at 5.5 in the game. I have Morgan Rodgers, but obviously that could be due to change. But Morgan Rodgers was one of the best players in FPL last season in terms of price and amount of points he gave back. Cole Palmer, Mo Salah is a midfield. Milinkovic on defense.
I have Milinkovic on defense.
Juan Bissaka on defense.
I have Juan Bissaka on defense.
Destiny Adoge on defense. And then Robert Sanchez in goal.
I must have been tired when I edited this last because I've got Juan Bissaka, Milinkovic, Konsa, Tarkovsky, Van de Ven as my defense. Pretty standard, but definitely a poor man's defense. In my midfield, big splurging. Mo Salah, Bruno Fernandes, who I think is just going to be a pick and a half. He's on pens. He does defensive contributions.
He has actual people to pass to.
He has actual people to pass to. Mo Salah and Gakpo, both of them. I have Dewsbury Hall. I have Brendan Johnson. In striker, I have Beto, Haaland, and Mark Guay. From Chelsea, who's now playing at Sunderland.
Yep.
However, he apparently picked up a little bit of an injury. I'll see whether I move that out. I don't know what I was thinking with Brendan Johnson, but that might be a good pick.
Could be.
We will see. I think I moved him out when I saw that Morgan Rodgers got injured with his ankle, and then he was also maybe like 7 mil.
Yeah.
So I bet that's what happened there. This is also not a final draft. We will see. Top 5 teams I'm interested this year. I've already mentioned, and 3 of those players are in my team. Everton just is so fascinating to me this year. Galatasaray as well. Picked up Victor Osimhen. And, has a pretty phenomenal striker core as well. Leroy Sané for one.
Mm-hmm.
And Icardi. Lake Como, after somehow surviving Serie A last year, they've got Alvaro Morata on their squad now.
Mm-hmm.
They should be pretty fun. Manchester United are always fun to watch, either as it is fun to watch a house burn, or they might actually be a good team this year. And then lastly, FC Utrecht, club of my family. They are currently on track to make it to Europa League. They have to beat a Swedish team, a Swiss team. And I think that then they're into the league phase or whatever. But super excited to see how FC Utrecht end up this year. They got 4th in the Eredivisie last year.
I'm honestly just super excited to see Kevin De Bruyne on Napoli. That's just going to be fun.
That's fair. That's fair.
PSG are just on. I think PSG play the best football in the world right now, and honestly, they just got better this summer.
Yeah. Do you want to just run through champions this year?
Yes. So England, I have Liverpool.
France,
I have PSG.
Germany,
I have Bayern.
Yeah, those are the easy ones.
Spain, I have Barca. Fuck Real Madrid. Italy, I have Napoli.
Italy, I have Inter Milan.
Kevin De Bruyne, a player of the year in Napoli, in Italy.
No Scott McTominay, too. Electric Boogaloo. Champions League, PSG.
Europa League, Real Betis.
Europa League, I could see... Europa League, FC Utrecht for the win, baby!
Europa League, Championship, Leicester.
Championship, Leicester, yeah.
Moving on from soccer, Superman. Joining us for the talk on Superman will be our movie correspondent, Zach. What do you want to be called?
Hello. Not a movie
correspondent. Oh, geez. Yeah, we Superman. Superman, good flick. I'll give it a 5 out of 7. That's just objectively a good score. It wasn't blowing me out of the water, but I enjoyed myself the entirety of the way through.
Honestly, I didn't have, like, any feelings towards this movie, honestly. I know Zach was, like, pretty excited to see it, so... And I left the movie feeling very pleasantly surprised with it. I also give it a 5 out of 7.
Yeah.
I think DC is in very good hands with James Gunn at the helm.
I agree.
And it was honestly just, like, everything I wanted out of a Superman superhero movie. Like, it was just a fun joyride.
James Gunn also did his thing where the main character never has the coolest fight scene. So, in the Suicide Squad, you have Polka Dot Man with the sick fight scene, with a cool musical, or a cool, like, song accompanying it. In Guardians of the Galaxy 2, you have Yondu with a cool fight scene. In this movie, you have Mr. Terrific with... banger song.
That was a baller scene.
Cool. Banger fight scene. Everyone in the Justice Gang did a great job. New Hawkgirl seems cool. I have some questions about, like, where wings just emerge? Because, to my knowledge, like, there are two different, like, Hawkgirl mythoses or whatever. One, she's an alien who's secretly sent to... act like as a superhero and then try to destroy Earth, and then the other one is like a cursed archaeologist who gains the powers and the mace and all that fun stuff. So we don't know that yet. That's a minor issue. Guy Gardner, Nathan Fillion, top tier.
Nathan Fillion was so good.
It was great.
Yeah. They nailed the casting, like, top down.
I agree. Yeah.
Like, Nicholas Holt as Lex Luthor was
really good.
Amazing.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a change from Man of Steel Superman, Henry Cavill. That Superman was very, like, not relatable, not personable. He was kind of, like, cold shoulder. This guy is super relatable, and he cares about the people in the world he's living on.
Which is what you should have in a Superman.
And it's what... it's why, you know, like, kids look up to Superman and, like, superheroes. And it was... visually, it looks insane. I think the visual effects people on that movie went insane. It was just a crazy surprise of a movie.
I enjoyed it.
Much needed change from the last one.
Very much so. It was a complete vibe change.
And I think we'll see more of the Justice Gang. I wouldn't count out the Hawkgirl storyline. They're going to be showing up in a lot.
I think one of the next projects that they're going to do is a Green Lantern
show.
Show with Jon Stewart.
Fillion's coming back for it.
Fillion's going to be coming back as Guy Gardner.
They're going to have Jon and who's the other main Green Lantern?
Hal Jordan.
Hal Jordan will also be in.
It was such a... it had such a... like, Marvel movies legitimately are, like, funny.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, most DC movies previously just aren't funny. But that Superman, obviously James Gunn coming over from Marvel, like... it just had moments where I'm laughing, and I'm like, this is crazy that, like, I don't even know.
I think they were good to not overdo it, though. It wasn't, like, only...
It didn't take you out of the scale of the movie.
No.
And honestly, it just kind of felt like another day in...
Metropolis. Yeah.
Which I think was good. There's no, like, origin story, really, which you don't need. You know how Superman, like... you know his origin story.
And that's what I kind of liked about the most recent trilogy of Spider-Man films. They didn't have to show us Uncle Ben getting killed.
Because
at this point, everyone knows the mythos.
I thought Superman's parents were good.
I agree.
They were... it was
Brad
small.
Cooper?
Well, them, but I meant his...
oh, yes.
Small part of the movie, but effective.
Yeah.
Banger movie. You should go see it.
Yeah.
You should go see it. Anything else we want to touch on right now? Do we want to talk a little bit about the AP poll
for college football?
Sure.
Try it.
Okay, Indiana. Top 20, but barely so.
Too low.
I think that we are appropriately rated.
I think you could very much switch us and Illinois. Yeah. I think Illinois was ranked 12th.
Arizona State, I get that we kind of had a similar story to them last year, and they were like, what, 11?
Yes. Illinois and Arizona State are very similar teams where they had pretty good years last year, but they're winning 7 or 8 one-possession games in their favor.
Yeah.
People really like Illinois because, honestly, their coach did a media run this summer. He was on a ton of podcasts that I listened to, and he was awesome. Like, he was just a very cool dude, and I could see why guys want to come to Illinois. Luke Altmyer, the quarterback, had a very good season. They have a really good O-line, and then they bring back 8 of their starting defenders, and then they steal 3 defenders from Wisconsin. So they're bringing back an entire starting D. It's going to be interesting. Week 4, IU, Indiana.
Yeah.
It's 2 teams essentially playing for their season in week 4.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe Homer pick, but again, I think we could have been up even a little bit. I don't know.
Florida obviously ending their season very, very strong, and then ending up as the preseason top 15. How much of that do you think is the name brand, and how much of that do you think is real?
It's people are super hype on their quarterback, DJ Lagway.
They also are probably just full of 4- and 5-star players.
It's SEC supremacy. Yeah.
But so they're going to be good.
In college, your coach matters so much, and it's pretty universally agreed they have a bad head coach.
Tennessee going from ranked 9th to ranked 24th.
I've got intel they're going to be on a down year.
Really?
This ranking's so interesting because there's so many new teams with new quarterbacks.
That's true.
Which is why even I use a question mark, because Curtis Rourke was insane for us last year. And, you know,
now we might have a guy who is reported to be even better.
Could be better, could be worse.
We got to see.
He's saying that while smiling. He's drinking the Kool-Aid, folks.
Fernando
he's
Mendoza.
Drinking the Kool-Aid.
First overall draft pick.
Do 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 do.
But you think of all these really good teams: Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan, Alabama. All these teams are coming in with question marks at quarterback.
Yeah.
Obviously, the 3 best quarterbacks in college football right now are probably Drew Aller at Penn State, Cade Klubnik at Clemson, and Garrett Nussmeier at LSU.
Clemson with a 10-point jump from 14th end of the season to 4th overall.
Clemson's insane. If you look at like the top 50 current players in college football, Clemson has like 7 to 8 of those guys.
They got Dabo.
Dabo is a good coach, even though he's cringe.
Penn State at number 2. How much do we believe that to be just all hype? And how much... Because I ultimately worry, not that James Franklin isn't the man for the job, but he still has an absolutely awful track record against Michigan and Ohio State.
Drew Aller's him.
They're good.
People talk about James Franklin the same way they talked about Ryan Day.
That's true.
And Ryan Day won one. Now he's not going to get talked about like that anymore.
I don't know. I'm still going to talk about him like that. Because I hate Ohio State.
Well, oh, Ryan Day. I was going to say, James Franklin and Penn State are going to be good.
It is hard to get that Drew Aller season-ending interception out really of my bad. Head, but he was so good before that.
He's also young. But is that his sophomore year? Is he a junior coming
out? No, he's going to be coming out to the draft this year. Some poor team like the Colts is going to draft him.
Notre Dame with a little fall-off over at 6th.
I don't care about Notre Dame.
They'll be fine. They'll be good again.
Any other lasting notes you want to talk about for college football before we end the pod?
It's going to be a great season for IU.
I think so, too.
Legit power schedule.
Five, what Power 5 schools were in? Was Boise State 25?
You mean Group of 5 school?
Group of 5.
To my knowledge, well, I mean, SMU is no longer a Group of 5 school, right?
Nope.
So okay, it's just Boise State. Boise State's the only Group of 5 school in with at 25th.
See if they can keep it up. How much of that was just Genty?
A lot of it.
A lot of it was Genty.
UNLV going to be the Group of 5 school coming out.
Yeah. No one's calling it now. All right. Well, folks, thanks for tuning in. This should be released on Wednesday.
And don't listen to Unnecessary Roughness, because that's where I just took all of those college football takes from.
Oh, jeez. We'll see you guys soon. Stay tuned. This is Ryan with Ryan Reviews the Universe. Peace out, guys.